I love the story of Jesus' birth and, you know, Mary being, you know, touched by the Holy Spirit and conceived Jesus. And you think about it, 15-year-old girl, what went through her mind and what she was thinking and feeling when she went, you know, as she realized she was pregnant with the Christ child. And I just love the story. But there's something I've noticed recently. In fact, my wife, Laverne, helped me to understand and see this. And that is how she realized she needed a spiritual mother in the midst of this whole situation she was going through as she was going to be birthing Jesus. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39, says, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Of course, it was her relative. And really, I'm convinced, a spiritual mother. The Bible doesn't really talk about Mary's own mother, but she had this spiritual mother, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, when she heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, because she was pregnant with John the Baptist, obviously. It was a family deal going on here. And it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women. She starts prophesying. And blessed is the child that you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And you know, so she's just, you know, prophesying, and all this is going, all this supernatural stuff's going on. But it's interesting, when they came together, what they did, and this is important for spiritual parenting, spiritual mothering, and also spiritual fathering. The Bible says in chapter 1, Luke, verse 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And I won't read the rest, but what did they do? They magnified God. And so the important thing in a spiritual parenting relationship is that we're magnifying the Lord. And it's not just about what's our needs or what's going on with us, but it's how can we honor the Lord and magnify the Lord? So we see Mary and her spiritual mama, Elizabeth, rejoicing in the Lord and magnifying the Lord in the midst of this whole situation. So in spiritual mothering, just say a few more things about spiritual mothering and then also spiritual fathering. These principles all apply to one another. And that is, we magnify the Lord. We want to make sure we're focusing on Jesus in the midst of us. Our focus must be upward, not just to meet our own needs. Susan Hunt wrote this great book in Spiritual Mothering years ago. Here's what she said. She said, when women do for other women what Elizabeth did for Mary, we will see young women burst forth in lives of praise to God. I think that's fantastic. So here's the question. Women of God, I'll talk to you first. Will we allow God to deposit His nurturing heart, His nurturing spirit into our lives so we can pour our lives into other women? Will we allow that to happen? And I believe the answer you'll say is yes, I'm willing to do that. So, again, spiritual mothering relationships or fathering can be long-term, can be short-term, they can be long-distance, can be through letters, through Skype, can be through texting, through phone calls, you know, whoever God is connecting you with for a season of time. And, you know, the scripture says that Jesus only did that which he saw his Father doing. He said the Father's always working, and he only did what he saw his Father doing. Let's just be open to what's the Father doing. You don't have to force this to happen. If you're a spiritual mom, a spiritual dad, God will bring you into relationships, some short-term, some long-term. Sure, there'll be issues and problems. There always is in parenting. I've often said that both natural and spiritual children can give you the greatest joy or the greatest pain. I'll say that again. Both natural and spiritual children will give you the greatest joy or the greatest pain. But it's worth it all. I mean, look at the pain that God the Father, when he had, you know, had Adam and Eve, and the pain they would have caused him as a father. And then their next generation, and the next generation. But we see the plan of God through it all. So whatever the Father's doing, allow the deposit that God's placed in our hearts to burst forth and permeate this nurtureless society and the church today. And as I said, my wife Laverne is not with me as I'm doing this taping. I'm here in Michigan, and she's back in Pennsylvania. And she, her heart, this week, she is nurturing and helping women of all different ages, helping them fulfill the purpose of God for their life. Some short-term, some longer term. Now, let me say one more thing about this. If you're married, and man, you know, husband and wife, and you're both serving Jesus, teamwork is powerful. Aquila and Priscilla is a great example of this. In fact, if you turn your Bibles with me to Acts 18, I'm going to show you how this works. Priscilla and Aquila were a team, and then together, Priscilla and Aquila were able to mentor Apollos, who was a powerful apostolic teacher. And the Bible says, In verse 24, chapter 18, verse 24, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a very learned man. He was brilliant with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor, and he taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he had partial revelation. Now, what did they do? Priscilla and Aquila heard him, the Bible says. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, it's interesting, it says Priscilla and Aquila. So somehow she was taking the lead in this situation. It says they invited him to their home. They didn't rebuke him publicly. They took him into their home. They mentored him. Now, Priscilla and Aquila as a team mentored him. We don't recommend men mentoring women and women mentoring men. We recommend because that can get very, very sticky and very, very tricky. When that has happened, there have been times when there's this very spiritual relationship can become an emotional relationship when it's the opposite sex, and it can be really detrimental. But teamwork is great. So here, they were together mentoring Apollos. She was taking the lead. That was fine. And what happened? Well, it says, they explained to him the way of God more adequately. In verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him, whether they were opening doors for him. And arriving, he was a great help to them. He vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He had a greater anointing than they had, especially in teaching. But they helped him make some changes. And what they did is they were spiritual moms and spiritual dads to Apollos. So teamwork is powerful. I find, for example, in marriage counseling, just in the last couple of days, we were doing some marriage counseling with some of our leaders. And it was interesting. My wife, Laverne, is much more of a counselor than I am. And I feel great about that. And I'm there and praying and offering a few things here and there. She's the one who's leading the way because she has a grace and anointing from God in that area. So learn your strengths. Learn how you can work together and how you can be a Priscilla and Aquila team. Of course, Romans 16, 3-5, we have the church meeting in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. Now, let me say this yet about the relationships. Whether it's a teamwork or your father in the Lord or mother in the Lord, there are three vital relationships each of us have. You'll find this important in the house church. Number one, Paul relationships. We need fathers and mothers in the Lord. Number two, Barnabas relationships. We need peer relationships. So if you're a house church leader, you need other house church leaders, others in Christian leadership to be peers. You need those over you in the Lord. And number three, Timothy relationships, sons and daughters in the Lord. They say, where does it start? Well, I find usually it starts by being by having Timothy relationships, finding someone, then you can just help them grow. And you don't have to say to them, I'm going to mentor you, I'm going to coach you, I'm going to father you. You don't have to even say that. Just do it. Just be there for them. Say, would you like to meet and talk about life? And could I ask you some questions that could perhaps help you? And I really believe in you. And most people say, well, of course, that'd be fantastic. If they don't, then go to somebody else. It's fine. So you have these three vital relationships we all need. You need them. I need them. I have them by the grace of God. God wants you to have them as the same. And they are Paul relationships, those over us in the Lord, peer relationships, those who are doing the same kinds of things, and then that's Barnabas relationships, and then Timothy relationships, those who we are mentoring and we are coaching and we are serving as spiritual fathers and mothers. Now, this is all birthed in prayer. Obviously, I was, because God will lead you to the right relationship. I was teaching on this near a university in Pennsylvania. A young man came to me. He said, I'm a new believer. I'm 6 months old in the Lord. He said, I hear what you're saying, but I feel weird feeling like I'm a spiritual father. He said, would it be okay if I just be a big brother to somebody? I said, you can call it whatever you want. The truth is we're following the scripture and we're following the mandate that the Lord has given to us. Now, what I'd like to look at yet in this session, just for a few moments, is the importance of understanding that we can't give to others something we don't have. Because the reality is, if you remember the example of John, you know, we've got to be secure in the love of our Heavenly Father. I mean, James and John had some real issues. They were called the sons of thunder. And Jesus picked them, but, you know, they're the ones that said, Jesus, you don't want to go into that Samaritan area. If you do that, let's just call fire down from heaven on them. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're operating out of. See, he was mentoring them and helping them through that. But, you know, something happens somewhere. John is often known as the apostle of love. So much love comes out of his writings. Something changed in John's heart. And I don't know exactly what happened. You know, I wasn't there, obviously, when it happened. But John, when he writes the book of John 5 times, he says he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He somehow knew he was loved by Jesus. And where are you in leadership? And you're called to lead a house church. You've got to know you're loved by your Heavenly Father. And I told you some of my story. Now, perhaps if I have time, I'll tell you a bit more where I didn't always know that. And when I got a revelation, not just here, but here, that I was loved by my Heavenly Daddy, it changed everything. Because otherwise, if you don't know you're loved by your Heavenly Father, do you know what we end up doing? We try to use these relationships to get love back. You use these relationships to get affirmation back, and we can't. We need to know we're totally loved by our Heavenly Father, so we're free just to give. So here's John saying, leaning on the breast of Jesus, saying the disciple whom Jesus loved was leaning on his breast. You know, he's, again, five times in the Scriptures, he says that. He's loved by Jesus. And the only thing I can figure out, honestly, is in John 15, verse 9, he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus said that to his disciples. John was there. As the Father, Jesus said, as I am perfectly loved by my Heavenly Father, that's how much I love you. And somehow, John got a revelation that he was loved by his Heavenly Father. Now, we need to get that in our heart. You lead a house church without knowing that. And you can even begin to use people to try to get affirmation for yourself. You just don't want to ever go there. We are loved by our Jesus. We're loved by our Heavenly Father. And that's how we can pour love out on others. So here's the deal. Spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers will be secure whether or not people affirm them. Because so when you're in leadership, you're not always affirmed. It's great when we are, but we're often not. But spiritual fathers and mothers will be secure whether or not people affirm us, because our significance comes from His love for us and His love for us alone. So when we're secure in the love of Jesus, when we're secure in the Father's love, you know, we can love unconditionally. As I shared with you in a former session, I didn't always know this. And when I realized that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, it changed my life. And I had been a megachurch pastor and didn't even know that. I was going through all these things because I didn't feel affirmed by people. People didn't always approve of me. You know, people will not always approve of you. Sometimes people you love might even leave. You know, Paul said that again and again in his last letter to Timothy. They all left me. And, of course, Timothy didn't. He said, but the Lord stood with me. And yet we know the last chapter wasn't written. We know we're here today because of not only, obviously, Jesus and all He did on the cross, but because of the obedience of people like Paul the Apostle and others, we're here today. You know, I love the story of John Mark. He made a bunch of crazy mistakes, you know. He was with Jesus in the garden, and he left and they grabbed his cloak, and he kept on running, and, you know, he ran out on Jesus there. You know, he was on that great missionary journey in Acts 13. You know, it was Paul and Barnabas and Luke and John Mark. And you know, you read that chapter, and, you know, a few verses, what is it, 10 to 12 verses down, 13 verses down, Mark's gone. He has left. And then, you know, but they moved on, and saw all those people come to Christ, and they went back and ordained elders in every church, and they came back to Antioch, and then they, Acts chapter 15, they had the Jerusalem Council, and Paul and Barnabas and all the leaders. And then at the end of Acts 15, you have Paul and Barnabas having a conversation. Paul said, let's go back and visit the churches. Barnabas said, yeah, let's do it. And then Barnabas said, but I want to take John Mark along. And Paul says, no way are you taking John Mark along. He messed up last time. We're not taking him along. And the division was so deep between these brothers who loved Jesus, Paul and Barnabas, that they went their own ways. And, you know, Paul took Silas with him and went to visit the churches. And Barnabas, you know, took John Mark and they went out. But it's really interesting later on when we see what happened. There was a reconciliation. But the interesting thing about this is that there were those who were fathers in the Lord to Mark in this whole process. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:13, Peter calls Mark his son. So somehow Peter became a father in the Lord to John Mark. And of course, you know, Barnabas, his relative, he was always there for him. It's interesting in Acts 12 and verse 12, it's interesting that, you know, his mother's home was used for prayer, so he grew up understanding the importance of prayer. His mother was a woman of God. But, you know, we have the book of Mark today because there were fathers in his life who somehow helped him and got him restored. And then we find that when Paul's writing his letters, the end of his life, he says, please bring Mark along. Send Mark to me, because, you know, Mark is going to be will be very helpful to me. So somehow they were restored. Now, let me share this with you. This is something that's really helped me. I found that we need to strive for a healed relationship relationships with whoever we're out of relationship with. And, you know, the Bible says pursue peace with all men as much as you can. You can't always be in perfect relationship with people. We do what you can. But I believe our natural fathers, we need to pursue healing with our natural fathers. Some natural fathers don't want healing. Some are gone to be with the Lord and they've had terrible backgrounds. But I say, do all you can so in your own heart you know you're free. Because if we're not free in these areas, we can impart something that's unhealthy to those whom we father and mother in the Lord. I was in Anchorage, Alaska, and talking to this man of God who planted churches throughout different nations. And I was just a young pastor. And I was just so impressed with him. And I said to him, of all you've learned in all these years, I said, what's the one thing that stands out to you? What truth can you share with me as a young leader, as you're training leaders? Here's what he said. I would never place anyone in leadership unless I knew he had a healed relationship with his father. Now, it doesn't mean the father wants to be healed, but he's done all he can in his own heart. He's forgiven. He's released. He knows that he's free. He said, whenever I haven't done that, that person became the kind of leader that was not a father, but was hurting people rather than helping people. So why is this important? Well, we've got to be secure in God. We've got to release people, forgive people, and bless people. And so secure in God that we can see the gospel go to the next generation in a way that's going to be a blessing to them. So we are not spiritual fathers and mothers for what it does for us. We are spiritual fathers and mothers out of obedience to the Lord. Because our God loves us perfectly. And he wants us to take that love and that heart and impart it into the next generation. You know, Luke 15 has a story of the prodigal son. And it's really interesting. With the prodigal son, you know, the father had these two sons in Luke 15. And the prodigal son took the father's money and, you know, went and spent it on prostitutes and wild living or whatever. Ends up, you know, eating the pig's feed, working for a farmer with pigs. And, you know, his father heard about this. Of course he heard about this. But his father never ran after him because he knew the son wasn't ready. You may have spiritual children in your life, and you realize that they aren't ready. It could be natural or spiritual. And they simply aren't ready to return to a right relationship yet. You love them. You pray for them. You keep the relationship. But what happened was, in the pig pen, he had got a revelation from God. He said, the servants in my father's house are better off than I am right now. And then he rehearsed in his mind what he's going to say. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father. And you know, I'm going to say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Could I be one of your hired servants? And it's interesting, when he started coming back, his father was looking, waiting. And he saw him from a distance far away. And the Bible says his father ran to him and embraced him. Said, my son, and welcomed him back. Now, it's interesting because the long robes they wore in those days, it'd be very hard to run. Historians believe the father actually lifted up his robe and ran to his son. Now, in the midst of that, if I'd be a neighbor, say, what's wrong with that crazy man? But see, the father didn't want the son to have shame put on him. He'd rather, if people would look at him and place it on him instead. That's what a heavenly father did for us as Jesus went to the cross and took our shame years ago. But you know, there was this older son. And the older son was angry because of the way the father responded to the younger son. He said, I've worked for you all these years. See, both of these sons had a wrong, improper relationship with their father. And the moral of that whole story is that the heart of God is that each of the sons would become like the father, that they would become fathers to others. Not think about their own issues, their own needs, their own comparisons, but they'd have the heart of the father. So we can't, you have to understand, we can't give to others. We just can't give to others what we don't have. What do we have? We have this heart of love from our father. He loves you perfectly. And maybe you've had a background where you haven't had those who would affirm you, that give you a sense of significance. Maybe you've been abused, you've been hurt. And I'm agreeing with you right now in the name of Jesus that our God is the God of healing. He wants to heal your mind, your spirit, your emotions. And he wants to come now by his grace and his power and heal you so you can be the healthy spiritual mother and spiritual father that he's called you to be for the next generation for the glory of God. Amen and amen.